greatest defense, release me from the dry wilderness. All I did was pray. All I did was worship. Was bowed down. All I did was taste. And hallelujah, you saved me. So much better.
Only heaven knows just how far.
how far you've gone to say you love her. So here is all my love, it's yours, no conditions. When you pull me close, no, I won't resist it. It's yours, no conditions. When you hold me close, no, I won't resist it. It's all my love, it's yours, no conditions. When you hold me close, no, I won't resist it. It doesn't make sense. We'll never comprehend the way you love us. It's unthinkable. Only heaven knows just how far you've gone to say you love us. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for who you are, God. When you speak to us today, God, we bless your name, God, and we just thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Hello, everyone. How are you guys doing tonight? So I was told that my message was not finished on Sunday, so I'm going to finish it today. So give me another an hour, 20 minutes for the message and about an hour for the Bible study. So we're here all night. Got it? We're good? And I love Pastor Edwin, and even though he's wearing a Roma shirt, that's fine. I still love him. you know, last week, we ended on a really good note, and that note was that Haman is dead. You know, Haman, your enemy, the enemy that was terrifying you, the enemy that was putting fear in your heart and our hearts, the enemy that has been planning and planning for our destruction has been defeated. So do me a favor, look at someone next to you and tell them your enemy's been defeated. I don't hear you, Dahlia. Well, his enemy was defeated too. Yeah, everyone. Tell someone, Dina, your enemy's been defeated. So she can hear me. Seriously, we need to speak that. We need that to be known. But that doesn't mean we're done working. That doesn't mean our journey is done. It doesn't mean our job is over. No, it means that now we're free to work. There is a difference between, you know, our enemy is defeated and we can just go chill, you know, or the enemy is defeated. We have the trap has been broken. The jail cells are now the jail doors are now open. Now we're free to get to work. And this is what happened here in this. And this is what's going to happen here in this chapter. Chapter 8, verse 1. It starts with this. On that day, King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told how he was related to her. This is how chapter 8 starts. Now we see that the authority and control that Haman had were transferred to someone else. Transferred to who? Transferred to someone, to Esther. Transferred to someone who was humble. Transfer to someone who is meek. Transfer to someone who was satisfied with whatever she got. Transfer to someone who put all of her trust in God. Transfer to someone who put her life in danger for herself and for the people she loves. It was transferred to Esther by the king's word. And then by the king's orders. Esther the bride receives what all that Haman had. Every power, every authority, everything that Haman had, that Haman controlled, now is transferred to Esther. There is a verse in Luke 11 that says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house. This is a verse. This is Jesus was talking to the crowd, and he tells them this. When there is a strong man, fully armed, meaning that he has weapons, he has authority, he has power to guard his own palace. His goods are in peace. Haman was that strong man. Our enemy is that strong man, that he is fully armed with everything you can ever imagine, everything you can think of, fully armed. His kingdom, his palace is in good place. Everything is in peace. Every plan that he has, every thing that you have that he has against us is in peace. But when someone stronger, when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, this is the word that I pray that shines in our hearts today by the power of the Holy Spirit. That when someone who's more powerful, someone who's stronger comes and overtakes him or overcomes him, he takes from him all that he had, and he divides his spoils. This is what happened here in this verse. Haman was that strong man. Your enemy and my enemy was that strong man, that all of his plans for destruction, all of his plans, all of his plans to harm us, you know, were in peace. He had a perfect plan to do whatever he wanted. But someone stronger, that king came because the king's stronger, because the king's word, no one can reject it or no one can take it back. Because the king came, took that authority from him and gave it to someone else. This is good news for you. This is good news because can you hear me? Can you guys hear me?
Now we can.
Yeah?
Now we can, yes.
Okay, great. So even if the enemy had all the plans, all the weapons, everything that he had, and it was all in store against us, guess what? Someone stronger came and took that authority. Someone stronger came and is able to take us from his palace, from the kingdom of darkness, to the kingdom of light. And here that it was not, Esther didn't ask for it, but it was given to her as a gift from the king. She didn't earn it. She didn't ask for it. She simply asked for salvation. And the king gave her this as a gift. Everything that we have is the king giving it to us in grace. Then we see that this is not just for us, but this is the authority. This is the power that God is giving us as a church. He looks at Peter and tells him, blessed are you, Peter, Simon, because no flesh, blood has not been revealed this, but my Father revealed this to you. What he's revealed to Jesus, Son, that he's God. That's what he revealed to him. And your church, and I, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it or will not come against it. These are the promises that God has for us. And then you see that also Mordecai is no longer, if you follow his, if you follow Mordecai from the beginning to now, she introduces Mordecai now as a relative. And if he is relative to Esther, it means he is relative to who? To the king, right? So if you look at how he began as a very humble servant, and then an ignored servant, someone who did something very well, but it was not paid for, repaid for it. Then he was recognized. And then his title became Mordecai, who spoke good on behalf of the king. Now he becomes relative of the king. Now he becomes in the presence of the king. There's a verse in John 15:15 that says, I no longer will call you servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. This is the King of Kings. This is our Lord talking to his friends. No, you're no longer servants. You're no longer slaves. You are now part of the family. You are now friends. God, if you go back to Genesis, would not do something to Sodom and Gomorrah without talking to who? Without talking to Abraham. Because Abraham is what? Abraham is his friend. Now we hear in Luke 15, if you go back to the New Testament, when the prodigal son comes to the father and says, I know I don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve to be your son, but make me one of your servants. Does the father take him as a servant? Does the father say, yes, you, that's not even a good job for you. He should be. No, the father covers him with the robe. The father gives him the ring. The father have a celebration for him. The father calls him son. This is the order that God has for us. This is how it was supposed to be way before sin came into the world. Okay? Now, if you notice also a couple of things in that verse, that the choices that Haman made didn't just impact him himself. It impacted his family, his wife, his children, and everyone. Now, his wife, she doesn't have hope. Children are growing fatherless. And so many fatherless children now. Even if they're, can you guys hear me? I think I'm frozen again.
The internet keeps cutting in and out.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
It keeps cutting in and out.
What's the last thing you heard?
It doesn't just impact yourself.
Okay. It doesn't just impact yourself. It impacts everyone around you. You know, Pastor Albert shared this with us. His wife doesn't have a home. His wife doesn't have a husband. His children are growing fatherless. They're losing everything because one person chose the wrong way. There's many examples in the Bible. If you go to Joshua 7, we hear about some guy named Achan. And I would like for you guys to go study this story. You know, Achan decided to take some of the stuff that he was not supposed to take, some of the stuff that were cursed and supposed to be burned. But he saw this shirt, you know, he saw this this coat, he saw this, he saw some silver, he saw some stuff, and he decided to take these things. And because of him, the whole nation lost a war. And when Joshua went to cry to God and say, what happened? What did we do? And he said, there is a sin in your midst. There is sin in your midst. You got to figure out what is going on. One man's choice affected a whole nation. If you go also to Judges 16:31, this is the story of Samson. One of the saddest stories in the Bible, where Samson, the person who was supposed to be a savior for Israel, the person who was supposed to be helping Israel, now is defeated. Not by Palestine, to lose his goals, to lead him to lose his callings. In Judges 16:31, it tells us when he committed suicide, or when he did that thing, when he killed the Palestinians and killed himself and them alone, we see this really sad scene where his family was, where his brothers and sisters are going, and his father's family are going to pick up his body. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that the journey of shame, the journey of pain, the journey of danger? He control his flesh. Compare that, right? If you want, write these verses. Judges 16:31. Compare that to Genesis 45:20. Joseph sent to call his father, Jacob, to the land of Egypt. He went to call him from the land of hunger, the land of starvation at the time, from the horrible place that he was in, to come and enjoy the luxury that Joseph was living in, to enjoy the blessings, the abundance and abundance and abundance of blessings that Joseph was living in. He is sending his brothers, he's sending an army, he's sending chariots, he's sending carts, he's sending all of this luxury to call his brothers and his family and his sisters and his everyone in this amazing parade of honor, because he chose to honor God. You know, God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. We will reap whatever we sow. Haman, right here, he saw in pride, he saw in self-centered life, and we see the impact that he had and his family. What a sad scene. Just a couple of days ago, he gathered all of his friends. He gathered all of his family members. He gathered everyone to tell him how great he is. Spoken pride. And now we see what? We see him hung on a piece of wood, and everything that he has is completely gone. Everything we choose to do will impact not only our lives, but the lives of everyone around us. James brought this, this great point that in this first verse, everyone had a title. Everyone had a title. They knew their role. There is a king. There is a queen. There is an enemy of the Jews. And then there is Mordecai, who's now related to the king. Our enemy is never just the enemy of one of us. He is the enemy of the whole body. He is coming to attack the whole body. If you go back to that same story in Joshua 7, when Achan decided to steal and not supposed to, first of all, him and his whole family killed, had to be burned. Not only that, the whole nation was impacted. The whole body was impacted because I pray that we would believe that our enemy is not only dead. That's not for the end of the story. It doesn't stop with his death. It does not stop with his defeat. His defeat makes us free to operate and to live the life that God intended for us. Okay, let's go to verse number 2 with Pastor Albert.
It says, so the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. So here we're basically looking at Haman lost the ring because he misused it. He was given so much authority by the king. And the king said, basically, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and write it. Go ahead and declare it, decree it. And here's my ring. Go ahead and take it. But he misused it. He did it for wrong purposes. And anything that's taken advantage of, anything that we're not faithful in, eventually is going to be lost because it wasn't used for the right purposes. But we also see here that the ring was given to Mordecai, because the whole house of Haman was given over to Esther, which means all the authority that it wasn't just the house, meaning just like a physical house, but it means all the authority. So all the authority that Haman had is now given to Esther. And Esther then delegates some of that authority to Mordecai, because each of us has a unique role to play in the kingdom. There's not one person that is uniquely gifted and equipped to do everything other than Jesus himself, right? But along with that, she knows what her responsibility is, and she knows that Mordecai is gifted to do certain things. So she sees to it that this ring, this signet ring that has the seal, is given over to her elder cousin, Mordecai. And it's just a great example of how we're to work together and to honor one another. Romans 12 and 10 tells us this. It says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo each other in showing honor. And so that's our role. That's our takeaway from this particular verse. And then James added here a beautiful thought, which says there's been a common theme for Mordecai, that he's been asking for it, that he hasn't been asking to be given anything. And yet others keep giving him the honor that he deserves. So basically he's faithful doing his job. He's faithful doing what he's been called to do. And he doesn't ask for anything more than that. All he does is go about his business, and he knows and does what he knows to do is the right thing to do. But then God exalts him at the end.
Very good. Okay, verse 3, let me go to Philip.
Okay, before I read verse 3, I just, in verse 2, taking over the house of Haman. Remember, Haman is the man that if you approach him, you have to approach him with bowing down. If you come near to him, you have to bow down to him, because he has an order from the king. Everyone should bow down to him, right? He was raised above all his colleagues. But now Esther and Mordecai will approach his house with this new authority. I'm not afraid from you again, because I have the authority. I remember last week we Pastor Al, I think, shared that, I read it, I can't remember. If someone has the authority, that means, if someone has all the authority, that means someone else does not have any authority, which is exactly now. Mordecai and Esther, they have the authority. They have the ring. They have authority over Haman's house. And he lost his authority. I remembered, and I shared this with the study group, that my friend shared with me that he was taking pictures to birds. And there is an area around the bird. It's called fear sphere. If you cross each bird has a different fear sphere, like few meters. If you cross this sphere, if you cross this area, they will be afraid and they will fly. Yeah. So this is fear sphere. I remember this when we were studying this verse, and say I felt like around his house, this is like fear sphere, you know? No one can come to this house without bowing down, without fearing this man, without being terrified from this man. But now Mordecai and Esther, they have the authority. They will approach his house with authority, with boldness. I'm not afraid. Hallelujah. You know, I remember, maybe Assam knows that. No, one of my brothers was walking in Egypt, and by mistake, he was walking beside a house of an officer, an important figure in the government, and they took him. So they took my brother just by walking nearby this house. And they took him and they started to torture him. And they kept him in jail because of walking beside this house. This is how much the authority this governor or whatever had, you know? No one should come close to my house. And this is the same authority Haman had. But now who has the authority? Mordecai and Esther, because the king ordered the authority. And I believe in the name of Jesus that no more fear from the enemy, no more fear from the enemy, because we have the authority. Jesus have all the authority and he gave it to us. So someone there has no authority, which is our enemy. Say amen. Amen?
Amen.
So there is no authority, but we have the authority in Jesus' name. Amen? So verse 3. Now Esther spoke again. I love this again. I love this saying again. She spoke again to the king. So there is a relationship here. There is a habit of speaking with the king. Not now she's not thinking about what if I speak to him and he does not stretch his golden, someone help me. Exactly, you know it. So no, there is no, and I'm not afraid. I speak to him again. I'm speaking to him again. There is no limit. There is no barrier. There is no curtain between us and the king, because the curtain, as we heard last Sunday, was tore from above to the bottom or down. So now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, fell down, bowing down to the king, bowing down. And I like it when it says, fell down. Okay. It's not like, I have to show you. You know, it's not like the protocol bowing down like they give it to the kings and queens like at those like this. No, 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 no. This is falling down. Falling down is like, I am so desperate here. I am. There is something serious here. It's not like something small. It's not like a protocol. It's not like high king. No, 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 no. It's falling down because there is a very important matter that she is bringing and she's talking to the king. There is falling down. There is bowing down. There is humility from Queen Esther falling down at the feet and implored him. Because it's very complicated English word for me, I had to go to the original. Implored him means tahannan, means she wanted him to be passionate. She wanted him to be compassionate. Sorry, yeah, compassion. And I remembered all the stories of Jesus when someone like a mother has a sick child and she comes to Jesus, Jesus, save my son or my daughter. Because he moves with a compassion. And this is exactly here. She's speaking to this part of the king, you know, falling down at his feet and implored him with tears. To counteract the evil of Haman, which is, I loved it when I read this, because she just received a ring, she just received authority, power, she should celebrate, woohoo, I have the power. No. She was thinking about the big picture. She was thinking about the salvation of the rest of the Jews. She was thinking about the whole nation. It's not only me. It's not only me and Mordechai, my relative. No. It's about the whole nation. I remembered when the 2.5 tribes of Israel came to before the Jordan River, and they took the land. They took the khalas. They finished. They are good. They are good. They took the land and they are settled. No. They have to cross the river with their relative because there is 9.5. Did I calculate this right? 9.5 tribes. They haven't received their inheritance. We have to go and fight with them. Until everyone takes their land, their inheritance, we will still fight. This is the same attitude that Esther had. No, it doesn't mean that I have the ring and I have the authority and I am saved. I am done. No. I am not done because there is a big picture I have to fight for, which is the salvation of the rest of the Jews. And when she approached him and talked to the king, she didn't insult him and saying, you have to remove, by the way, you have to take away, counteract the evil of Haman. You have to remove, you have to pass over, you have to remove this plan of the enemy. No, she didn't say that you signed. No, she said the evil of Haman. This is wisdom. This is wisdom. She didn't want to provoke him and, provoke his anger. No, she spoke in wisdom. The evil of Haman. I know my enemy. Again, I know my enemy. It's not you. It's Haman, the evil one. And she came and she spoke for her, all her people, the Jews. I love this attitude of Esther. And I pray in the name of Jesus that God will give us this heart of not resting until we see the salvation of souls. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's go to verse number 4, and James has that for us.
So verse 4 says, and the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king. So now, last time she came unannounced, she wasn't sure what was going to happen. She was scared for her life the last time she came. This time she's confident. This time we don't hear anything about her being scared or proclaim a fast or like we really need to make sure that we do everything we can to alleviate the king and any of that. This is just, she's able to come and she's used to it. She understands that the king loves her and the king is going to hold out his scepter to her. So she can come however she is. She's able to come in front of him. She's able to come to his throne room and she knows that he loves her enough to allow her to stand up, to hold the scepter out to her. And speaking of standing up, you can look throughout the Bible are places where people come into God's presence and they come in all kinds of different ways. Sometimes they fall down prostrate. Sometimes they're barely standing and trembling. Sometimes they're like on their knees and sometimes they come in standing. But when you look at any of those examples before the end of their encounter in the presence of God, they're standing up. In Daniel 8, there's an example from verses 17 to 18. And I'll just summarize. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and I fell on my face, but he touched me and stood me upright. A couple chapters later, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and the palms of my hands. So now he's on his hands and knees, and he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, stand upright. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. So however I come to him, he's going to raise me up, whether by telling me to stand up or raising me up himself if I don't have the strength. In Joshua, a very familiar story, it's when Joshua sees the commander of the army of the Lord, it says in chapter 5, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth. And then after that, it says, then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. So at some point, after he fell on his face, he was standing up. Because the commander told him, you're standing on holy ground. And one last example I'll just mention in Nehemiah chapter 8, the people have heard the law, they've repented, they feel terrible sorrow for their sins. And it says, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then it says also, and it gives a list of names of people, including Nehemiah and Ezra and the Levites, helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they're bowing down, worshiping the Lord with their faces to the ground, but then they're taught to understand the law of God and they stand up. So we can come to God's presence in whatever condition we're in, no matter how it is, whether we're bowed down, whether we're afraid and trembling, whether we're rejoicing, whether we're, you know, everything's going great. We can come into God's presence any way we are. And once we're there, he's going to help us to stand up before we leave, because he wants to send us out standing up, standing upright, so that we can face the world and the, whatever challenges are ahead, standing up in his strength. So come to God as you are, and when you get there, he'll show you and help you and command you to stand up.
Amen. You know, another example that I just reminded of as James was speaking, when Jesus was at the boat with Peter, when he told Peter to go and try to fish again, and when they saw the miracle of the huge amount of fish that they caught, it says that Peter fell on Jesus's knees. You know, so he fell on the ground, but holding on Jesus's knees and telling him, "Leave my boat. I am a sinner. I am unworthy of you being here." And Jesus tells him what? Told him, "Do not be afraid. I am going to make you fish. You will fish for people from now on." This is when Jesus started calling Peter. Even it was a terrifying moment for him, but it was also full of humility. This is the moment where he realized that you are God. You're not just someone, anyone. And he fell on his knees and asked him that, I can't be in the same place as you are. But Jesus tells him, don't worry about it. From now on, we're going to work together. So let me go to verse number 5, and Pastor Mike will lead us through this.
All right, so verse 5 says, as 4 left off, says that she stood before the king, and she said, "If it pleases the king, and if I have found favor in the sight in his sight, and the things seems right to the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's provinces." So, as I was saying, that she, as James shared, that she stood before the king. So she was up and she spoke. And as Philip said, again, and it's showing us their relationship of what's happening. But one thing I really like here is that, I mean, we see in her whole life the choices that she makes. In verse 1, the psalm was sharing about the choices we make, how they affect. And she chose a lot to be obedient, right? We learned that throughout the book, that she chose obedience, what was being told to her, and she didn't say their relationship, and she chose, but she also chose to be honoring. And we see here that even as Philip said, and I'm going to do it, I have to do it. Philip said it was a time to celebrate. Even though it was a time to celebrate and they have gotten the house and the signet ring and all that was happening, she still came to this place where she chose to honor the king, right? And she spoke to him in an honoring way. And it shows me and it shows us that even when things are going good and, you know, we have what we think is the victory, and we learn here that there's still more, but when we have these good moments, that we still are, the relationship with our king still is of honoring and of reverence and approaching him with in such manner. And I see here, and as she said, she approached him, she speak to him if it pleases him, and she's asking for something here. She's asking that the letters that were written by Haman, once again, she didn't say that you did, she said the letters that were written by Haman, that they be revoked, right? And we know that a law that was set out cannot be revoked. It can be revised, it can be rewritten, and we're gonna, I don't want to spoil it, but we're gonna, you probably read already, but we're gonna see what happens. But the laws that went forth already cannot be revoked. They can be rewritten other ways and stuff like that, we're gonna see. But she asked that the letters be revoked, and she said the letters written by Haman, right, revoke the annihilation of the Jews. But we see what's happening here, and even though what she's asking seems impossible, and we see that this is can't be done because of the law, we see her heart. We see what's happening in her heart, and we see that she's pretty much giving trust to the king. She's not saying, "King, can you write it like this, or can you do this, or can you do this right now?" She's not saying this. She says, "Lord, can you do this? King, can you do this?" So she's pretty much saying, do it your way, right? You're in control. I trust in you, right? This, which should be our relationship with the Lord. Lord, may your will be done, right? And we see in verse 6, where she says, for how can I endure to see the evil which will come to my people, or how can I endure to see the destruction of my countrymen, right? She knows that evil is coming, and she wants to prepare for it, right? She knows that it's impossible for her to stand around and see the destruction of her people, right? And one thing it tells me here, if you guys remember where Mordecai tells her way, 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 way long time ago, where he says, don't think that you're going to get away from it, right? When the decree went out to kill the Jews, don't think that you're going to escape from this just because you're in the palace. And we talked about how big is your home, right? How, when it's affected. And I like that I see now that she says, my people and my countrymen, right? We see that she's in the middle of this, right? There's more to be done. We see where her heart is, right? She's praying and she's pleading for the people, right? And even though she's saying, Lord, revoke these laws, which can't happen, we're seeing her heart. She's putting trust in the king, but she's also showing that this is my home. My home, my people are being affected. So I see what's happening in her life. I see that her home has gotten a lot bigger, right? She says now they're all, if it's affecting them, it's affecting me, right? Philip just spoke about salvation of all the souls. There's work to be done, right? And it doesn't end until we see salvation of the souls. She knows that it doesn't end. Even though they had a great moment, it doesn't end. And we're going to see later on that there's going to be letters that go out, right? Letters of hope, letters that give hope to the Jews, right? Letters given to the Jews, right? Which are a breath of fresh air for heavy hearts, right? There's still a decree out there we're going to learn, right? Of annihilation. But these letters are going to go forth. They are going to help the heavy hearts. Letters of hope. We have the word of God, which gives us hope, which reveals Jesus Christ, which shows us a love, which shows us his goodness, which shows us help in our times of needs, right? And these letters are going to give hope, just like the letter, the word of the Lord gives us hope. So I like here as we see her heart, how it has changed throughout. You know, as we see in the book, she's told you can't escape it. Now her home is bigger. These are my people. And I like her choice where she says, I'm going to choose to still honor the king. Our relationship is getting better. Our relationship is getting closer, but I'm going to still choose to honor you.
Amen. You know, all what she is wanting now, remember, she had the chance to ask for up to half of the kingdom. Remember that? She was offered that twice, but that's not what she cares about. And maybe you think if she gets the house of Haman and the ring and all of that, that would, you know, like, oh, look, you get a little taste of how it looks like, right? But no, all she wants is for the king to revoke the letters that were sent out to annihilate the Jews. All that she wants is life. That's all she's asking for. She's asking, and she is asking the king to do it himself. Like, she comes and tells him, however you want to do it. You know, I trust you. I know that you're good. I know that you have good intentions. I know that at the end of the day, you will see, you will do what you see fit perfectly for us. You go ahead and take care of that. You take care of this for us. You know, revoke those letters. Give life instead of death. And as Pastor Mike was talking right now, all these conversations are happening between Esther and the king. She is interceding for her people. The last thing that the people heard is that there are letters, there are orders to annihilate them. The last thing that made the city spin is that the Jews are going to be killed. Now something is cooking behind the scene. Something's happening behind the scene. And I know for a fact that every one of you is doing something behind the scene. Every single one of you is interceding on behalf of your family or interceding behalf of someone, something is happening. Listen to what Isaiah 52:7 says. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation. Listen to this. Who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your God reigns. How beautiful it is. But that, listen, that how beautiful it, the one who's bringing the good news, this doesn't just happen like that. This is taking a lot of work. This is taking a lot of praying. This is taking a lot of weeping. Do you remember the sackcloth that Mordecai had? Do you remember the fasting that him and Esther had? Do you remember the suffering? Do you remember those ugly moments? Do you remember those lonely days? Do you remember the days where everything was dark, even though it was supposed to be shining outside? Those are the moments that we are receiving those words from God. Those are the moments that God chooses to equip us with those words, so later on, those amazing letters can come out. You know, sometimes when I hear people preach at our church, whether it's Pastor Mike or Pastor Albert or Philip or whoever, I believe what they're saying because I know their lives. I know they paid for that message. That message wasn't free. That message came from a lot of experience. That message came from a lot of, can I say suffering? That message came from a lot of trust, from a lot of personal one-on-one relationship with God. Esther is cooking something right now, not for herself. She has what that's good for her individually, but that's not what she wanted. She wanted good for her people. She wanted life for her people. Something is cooking behind the scene. And I pray that we would be cooking something with God tonight. I pray that we would finish this meeting, but start a meeting, an individual meeting with God, to start something for our families, start something for our church, start something for the society we live in. I mean, people are really suffering right now. People are living in fear right now. Not only because of the virus, but because of everything that's happening. You know, I was listening to a basketball coach who is very famous, very well known, and he said, I am afraid. I was listening to LeBron James yesterday. We all know who LeBron James is. Whether you're a fan or not, it doesn't matter. But the man who is a billionaire, really, that's I really don't care for LeBron, but the man who's a billionaire, who is so powerful, he was in tears saying, I'm afraid for my son. People are in fear. People are suffering. And we shouldn't just dismiss that. No, people are in fear. People are suffering because, not because of the government, not because of the police, not because of the president, but because there are evil letters that were sent out in our country. Because there are evil letters that were sent out in our world. And sometimes we need to fall down on our knees to intercede and ask for a new order of life, for a new promise of life. I'm going to read it again to you. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Can we bring good news today? Can we bring good news tomorrow? Can we bring good news to the people that really, really need it? Who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, and this is my favorite part, who tells his household, who tells Whittier, who tells Norwalk, who tells Los Angeles, who tells Los Alamitos, who tells Downey, who tells, you know, wherever you live, that God reigns. That our God reigns. Again, it didn't happen overnight. It took fasting. It took praying. It took tears. It took humility. But at the end of the day, I really cannot wait for next Wednesday. When we started this Bible study yesterday, when we started reading this, I wanted to jump onto verse number 7, really. So next week, great things are going to happen. But today, let's do our part. Remember, Haman is dead. Not just for us to say, hey, Haman is dead. No, that means you're free. That means your enemy has no longer has control over you. That now the jail cells have been broken and you can get out and go free to do what you're supposed to do. Let's cook something tonight. Let's do something behind the scene so it can be seen tomorrow. Amen? All right, you guys, go ahead and if you have something to share or if you have a question, please go ahead and unmute yourself. Otherwise, someone can close us in prayer. I think Soraya wants to say something, but we can't hear you from Downey. So you're going to have to be either a little louder or unmute yourself. One of the two.
I was telling him to close in prayer, and he's saying, no, you do. I said, no, you're the man.
Oh, now he's the man because you want him to pray. Okay, got it.
Okay, all right. I could close in prayer. Okay. Our Heavenly Father, God, Lord, thank you, Father, thank you, Jesus, that we feel your presence. We're so blessed that we get another opportunity, Father God, to get united as your body, Father God, and as you as our head of this relationship, Father God, that we thank you that we could come before you, Father God, and as we even hear and listen and read your word, Father God, we could see your presence and we could get to know you and understand you in a deeper way, Father God. And we thank you. And we thank you, Father, for what you're doing as a church, as we thank you what you're doing individually as a family and personally, Father God. And we give you all the glory and the victory, Father God, and I thank you, Father God, for the time that Sam and all the ones that they take before you, Father God, and they seek you before they come, Father God. So I thank you for that, Lord, and I pray, Father God, many blessings for Arise. I pray, Father God, many blessings for everybody, all the families, families that are represented here and the ones that they're not here, Father God. And thank you again for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. And let us have a wonderful rest of the night. And again, we pray blessings for all of us, Father God. And we thank you for what you're doing. And I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes. You're right. Did we say bye?